Hey everyone, Caster here. And before we start the show today, we would like to acknowledge the passing of an American icon, the great Adam West. He is a very versatile actor, ranging from our beloved Batman to the mayor of Quahog. So, in honor of him, please enjoy today's theme. Welcome to another episode of Nerd Legends Podcast. I'm Caster.
And I'm Pollux. Dude.
What? Stop staring at me, dumbfounded. What?
Okay.
Are you seriously going to bring that up?
Now? I am. I'm totally going to bring it up. You totally shot me down. I had this amazing idea for an opening, and this guy shot me down. Well, I'm sorry. Not to be confused with that guy. This guy, Caster, shot me down.
I know. It's what I do.
It was hilarious. Check it out. I wanted to go, hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of Nerd Legends Podcast. Adam West died, so we're going to have a moment of silence. And then the rest of the episode was just going to be dead silence with the theme that plays at the end after 30 minutes. It would have been hilarious.
For you. Our audience would be like, dude, fuck these guys, and clicked us off.
But it would still been funny.
To you.
Well, duh. That's why we do this, is because it's funny to me.
To you. Okay. Okay, but in all seriousness, you know, we had to at least acknowledge the passing of Adam West. And it was honestly really touching in how I heard about what they had done in L.A. I kind of wish I'd been there to see it.
I wish I would have been there to see it. That was really cool. For all of you who don't know, they projected the original Batman.
The Bat Signal, right?
Bat Signal. There you go. The original Bat Signal on the side of City Hall in L.A., after he passed. It was pretty awesome.
That was appropriate, I think.
I think it was, too.
Anywho, we just wanted to take a moment to call the great Adam West.
Yes. Remember, good Klingon word usage.
Oh, yes. Speaking of Klingon word usage, that is call, and it is the word for remember.
I just want to point out we're not even 2 minutes into the episode yet, and you've already dinged your mic.
Great.
Trying to take it back.
I am taking it back.
Since I took it from you.
Fucker.
But anyway, yes, Adam West, amazing actor. Everyone loved him as Batman. If you didn't love him as Batman, you should. Shame on you.
Speaking of Batman, do you know that he had a brief guest appearance he was in one episode of Batman the Animated Series?
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
And
do you know the episode?
I think it's called The Gray Ghost.
Ooh.
Or at least that's the name of the character that the character Adam West portrayed. But context, the character that Adam West was playing in that episode was an actor who had been typecast as the Gray Ghost, much in the same way that Adam West had been typecast as Batman.
Okay.
So it kind of followed, you know, this is well past the dude's prime, and he's having problems to the point where he's having to sell off his Gray Ghost paraphernalia just to make ends meet.
Interesting.
Yes, and the Gray Ghost in this continuity was a hero to the young Bruce Wayne. So very fond memories for Bruce Wayne, Batman, in that series, and it was very, very appropriate, very touching, especially to have Adam West voicing, in essence, a mirror of his life.
Yes. And the episode in question is Batman the Animated Series, and yes, it's Beware of the Gray Ghost.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Beware the Gray Ghost.
Okay.
Is the name of the episode.
It was a great episode. Still a great episode. So many great episodes just come out of that series.
And it was in 1992. And yeah, it had a lot of people in it.
Well, yeah. The casting for the animated series, as I've probably said before, was top notch.
Well, yeah, you got Kevin Conroy as Batman. You got Robert Hastings as the commissioner. Mm-hmm. Ephraim Zim something as Alfred Penny. I can't read the rest of his name.
Alfred Pennyworth?
Yeah. Mary Devon as Summer something. Joe Leahy as the Grey Ghost narrator, I think is what that says.
Probably.
And Bruce Timm as the Mad something. I can't read that either. And Adam West as the Grey Ghost.
Yes.
Because that's the only one we really care about.
For this portion, that's the only one we really care about.
It aired November 4th, 1992.
You know, I remember watching that on TV for the first time.
You remember watching that on November 4th, 1992? Damn, your memory is amazing.
No, I just remember watching it. I don't necessarily remember the episode if it wasn't for the fact that I watched the series quite frequently at home.
Very nice.
Yes, I can't tell you, for example, what I was doing. I was, what, 6, 7, or 8 at the time?
So you were probably drinking chocolate milk, picking your boogers, and watching TV.
You know what? You're probably right.
That's what we were all doing.
All three accounts. But,
now that anyway, so today's show is all about reboots.
Rehashes.
And remakes.
Yeah.
Of old movies, new movies, because we've had a bunch of new movies that come out within, like, 2 years. They remake them again.
Yeah. And even some new... Anybody who paid attention to E3 this year might have seen that there are a couple of video game remakes on the horizon as well.
Yeah, you were talking about that.
Yes. As a matter of fact, there are one or two that got me really excited.
I bet they did.
Yes. Like... But no, I'm going to talk about the one that really caught my eye. For those of you who didn't follow E3, it was... All right, more context. I think it was last year... A fan project for a remake of Metroid 2 had been in development for like 10 years, but Nintendo did nothing to stop it. Anyhow, the dude releases it, and it is a top-notch remake of Metroid 2 with updated graphics and controls and all of that. But within 24 hours, Nintendo sends a cease and desist order. So it got taken down, but from what I saw of it, it was amazing. A virtual tribute... to form, if I may. Anyhow, Nintendo announced at E3 that they are releasing their own remake of Metroid 2, just called Metroid Samus Returns. This is exciting to me because it's coming out on my 3DS and I can play it.
Come to find out, it's the exact release that guy did. Nintendo just bought it.
Which, honestly, I think Nintendo would have done themselves a favor if they just hired the dude.
Probably.
But... that's Nintendo's beef, not mine. Anyhow, out of E3, that is the only game that really, really caught my eye.
Okay.
At least as far as today's topics go. We're going to be mostly focusing on movies and TV series.
Yes. That's what we're really looking at today.
But this also brings up a question. Are remakes or reboots really necessary?
I think in some aspects, yes, they're extremely necessary because the original sucked. The original movies that came out sucked. In some cases, not all. Sometimes the originals are classics and you never want to go away from them.
They're timeless. Like,
but
I guess you see your point. In some ways, when you remake a movie like 30 or 40 years later, you do it in a way that's relevant to the time, right?
Correct. And sometimes when you go back and remake a movie 30, 40 years later... it's to bring in a new audience to that. And sometimes you'll get people who are like us that watch the new one and go, dude, that's awesome. This is a remake? I'm going to go back and watch the original.
Yeah.
And then you go back and watch the original. You wind up loving the original just as much as you love the new one.
Or even more.
Yeah.
Seriously.
But so.
With that in mind, did we just say, you know, when they should be done? Or when should they be done?
I don't know. I mean, let's take an example. The Hulk.
Wait, when the Norton Hulk or the one that came out in 2003 with Eric Bana.
Whichever one was the original.
There was
not the original way back in the day. I mean the original new one.
So we're talking about the one with Edward Norton.
Yeah,
that kind of came out with Iron Man to kickstart the MCU.
No. The original Hulk that came out.
So we're talking 2003 or are we talking the TV series?
Not the TV series, the movie.
Okay, 2003.
The one they put out that was very comic booky.
Yeah, 2003, I think. It was awful. I was a kid at the time, or, you know, younger, so I enjoyed the hell out of it.
See, I still liked that one. It was interesting. You know, the one where he got whatever. And it was very cut. And every cut they did was like in a, you know, a little
like
comic
a
book style framing, whatever. Okay, so they did that. And then later on, they remade that with Edward Norton, right?
Right.
So they remade the origins of the Hulk with Edward Norton,
which was
better.
It was also fairly similar to, or it had a lot of parallels with the TV series, which was kind of what they were trying to emulate.
Okay, but the one with Edward Norton was better. It was a better constructed.
It was a better
Hulk
movie.
Film.
Yes.
Okay. Now, doesn't mean that I didn't like the one that came out before it. I did, but it was a better constructed film. Okay, but. In comparison, Edward Norton playing the Hulk was nowhere near as good as the guy that plays him in Avengers.
Mark Ruffalo.
Yes, he makes an amazing fucking Hulk.
He really does. And the thing I liked about Ruffalo, that nothing against Edward Norton, because Edward Norton is a good actor, he just didn't have, he didn't portray the vulnerability of Bruce Banner as well as Ruffalo did. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Ruffalo did a good job of that. He was more emotional, I guess you would say.
He was more emotional.
He portrayed, not emotional, but...
He came across as shy to me, which I think fits the character.
He portrayed better emotions.
Yes.
Than the other one did. So, it was just better. And I think he played that whole demure, oh, well, you know, you wouldn't like me when I'm angry kind of thing. Better. It was just better.
Yeah, and
he was funnier. He was just a...
He didn't even really have to say it.
Yeah.
Know?
He just played a better Hulk all the way around.
He did. Like, one of the things I liked was his first appearance in the first Avengers film, you know, Ruffalo. You know, he's very calm, talking to Black Widow, and then he suddenly goes, "Stop lying to me!" You know, he goes from calm to near losing his shit in the flash of an eye.
Yes, so when should they be done? Now's when they should be done. They should take Mark Ruffalo and make a Hulk origin story over again with him that fits in with the Avengers movies. Because I think then we would actually have a standalone Hulk movie that would hold its weight against some of these other standalone superhero movies.
But you see, the thing is, as far as the MCU is concerned, the Edward Norton 2008 Hulk is canon, is within continuity.
Yes, but Edward Norton was nowhere near as good as Mark Ruffalo.
No, he wasn't, but I digress.
but anyway, that's when they should be done.
Yes, I see your point. If it can, in fact, be done better. But a lot of these remakes get started out thinking, oh, we can do better. And then they end up sucking.
Oh, yeah. That first one, let's be honest, it sucked. It did. It sucked.
The Ang Lee version, the 2003 with
Eric. Yeah, the Banner. 2003. It sucked.
It was poor.
It sucked. It was a poor movie. Now, I liked it.
I liked it for what it was.
I mean, I have no excuse for why I liked it. I just liked it, but it was terrible. The Edward Norton film was better, but the Edward Norton film was terrible compared to Mark Ruffalo as Hulk.
The one thing I did like about the Edward Norton film is we got to hear the Hulk talk. That, like, my favorite part of that movie is right there at the end where he's fighting the Abomination and he's swinging those counterweights around, and then he just gets up, you know, with Lou Ferrigno voicing him, just goes Hulk smash, and I loved that part of the film.
Okay, and I'm with you, that was cool, but that's still not as good as Mark Ruffalo slamming Loki back and forth into the ground and going, "Puny God."
That was great. Again, it was...
That was better.
Again, there was Lou Ferrigno in that, too.
Yes, and that was better.
I want them to bring that back a little bit with the Hulk, you know, because he does speak, but not very frequently, more along the lines of what they did in the 2008 film, you know, very infrequently speaks. The Hulk wants to be left alone.
Yes.
But anywho. Anywho. Yes, that was an example of a... More of a recasting than a remake in terms of, you know, going from Norton to Ruffalo.
Correct.
But it would be great to see Ruffalo in an origin story for the Hulk.
I would love to see him in an origin story for the Hulk because he played it excellently.
He did. He played it very, very well. And here's some relevant examples of, like, recent remakes. I'm talking within yours and my lifetime, you know?
Yeah.
Like, did you ever watch the 95 Judge Dredd film with Sylvester Stallone?
I did.
What did you think of it?
I can't say I didn't like it. I mean, it was comical in its own way, and it was classic in its own way. And I did, but I don't think it was that great of a movie per se. But I mean, it's definitely one of my favorite movies to go back and watch when I'm just watching kind of random classic movies.
Is it kind of like a guilty pleasure watch?
Yeah, kind of the same way The Fifth Element is. I mean, that wasn't a great movie, but I really like the movie.
And the thing is, when I hear people talk about it, they talk about it with such fondness.
Yeah, exactly.
But what was I thinking? From what I remember of the Sylvester Stallone Judge Dredd, it was very much in line. It was far closer to the comics in terms of its tone than the remake that came out in 2010, which is Dredd.
That was awesome.
That was an awesome
action flick.
If they want
to talk about a good remake, that was a good remake.
It was a very good remake. I loved Urban as Dredd. He had that scowl down pat. Never took his freaking helmet off, which was something they said fuck it to in the Sylvester Stallone film. Because even in the comics, you don't see his face.
Yeah.
You do not see his face. And that's one of the things that irked me.
Yeah, that was an excellent movie.
And I would have loved for it to get a sequel, but I guess evidently they're going to do a TV series for Dredd now called Mega City 1.
Well, I would have loved to see it get a sequel, but I'd much rather see Edward Norton as Bones. Edward Norton.
Carl Urban.
Carl Urban as Bones on Star Trek than have him flittering around doing another Dredd movie.
Why not?
He needs to stick with what he's good at.
He
and
was good as Dredd.
He is McCoy.
Yes, he is McCoy. He was great as Dredd, though.
He was great as Dredd, but he is McCoy.
Yes, he is McCoy. You know he's going to be in Thor Ragnarok, right?
Is he?
Yeah.
As McCoy?
Not as
McCoy. That would be awesome.
No, he's playing a character called the Executioner, I think. You actually see him briefly in the trailer. The dude's, like, dual-wielding machine guns.
Damn it, Thor! I'm a doctor, not a Norse god!
But seriously, yeah, he's going to be in Thor Ragnarok along with the Hulk.
Yeah.
Yeah, which you've seen it. It's like, I know him. He's a friend from work. But that's what's what Marvel's doing now. I think they're going to start doing more crossover materials.
I think they should do a crossover between Star Trek and, like, you know, the Avengers. That'd be awesome.
I don't think Kirk
would kick Tony Stark's ass.
But
and yes, I mean that wholeheartedly. Anyone that wants to call me on that can call me on it. Captain Kirk, fuck Tony Stark up. Period. Because Captain Kirk, there are no-win situations.
He doesn't believe in the no-win scenario.
Exactly. There are no no-win scenarios. That's what I was trying to say. And Tony Stark gave up twice.
Twice.
Go look through the movies. He gave up twice. And they brought him back in. And they talked him back into whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They did it. Kirk would have never done that. He would have waited. And he would have beat the shit out of him. And it beamed up to his ship and then phasered his ass and ran away.
Speaking of Kirk, that is another excellent example of a remake done right.
It was an excellent remake done right. I think to bring in a new audience and people from this time than what it was back in the day,
mm-hmm.
but to still hold on to those people, I think they did a good job of changing the timeline. I think that was actually a very good thought process behind the script, is changing the timeline to allow a whole new group of people to love this and to have new stories that are kind of the same but can have as many differences as needs be to make the story, you know, more entertaining and interesting to people of this generation.
I will say,
because of the timeline shift,
I will say this though, the first, you know, the 2009 Star Trek so far has probably been the best of the three.
Really?
I think
I think that we both may think the same way on that, for the simple fact that they did a really good job of reintroducing the Enterprise and the mm-hmm. crew in that movie. And you and I both know how significant that feeling was when you first seen, like, Next Generation for the first time, and they introduced that crew an encounter at Farpoint. Same way with the first episode of Voyager, when they first introduce that new crew and they show the new ship and you get to see it for the first time. If they do that right, you're pretty much hooked for the rest of the thing.
Pretty much.
And because they did it such a good way in the 2009 film, that's your nostalgia point for it that is. Series, is that original movie when you got to see the new crew and the new ship for the first time. That's what we're always going to go back to.
And it also, it didn't help that they had Spock on the cast, or Leonard Nimoy, the late Leonard Nimoy.
That's very true. Leonard Nimoy was in it, and
it fit.
Added a lot to that movie. It really did.
It really, really did. You know, thinking of him, because I still miss Leonard Nimoy.
I do. Now, we do have a few movies to talk about that were remakes that both are good and bad. Spider-Man, for instance. The Tobey Maguire remake.
And the one, the Amazing Spider-Man with Andrew Garfield.
Yeah, the Tobey Maguire remake. Those three movies. Now, granted, when they came out, I liked them. I did. And if I go back and watch some, I would still go back and watch, like, the first one.
You know what? I liked the second one, the best of the three.
I think the second one was probably better. The better movie out of the three.
I think it
but
was.
But if I'm going to go back and watch, I'd probably go back and watch the first one. But I like the first one. I mean, it shows how he does some stuff, and it's kind of interesting. But the Andrew Garfield one, okay, they remade that. Now, here's the thing. The Tobey Maguire one, would you put that in the good column or the bad column?
I'd have a really hard time with that, actually, because I like... Like, I didn't care for Tobey Maguire as Spider-Man, but okay. I thought he made a better Peter Parker than Andrew Garfield did, and vice versa. Andrew Garfield made an amazing Spider-Man, but not necessarily... He played a different version of Peter Parker.
Andrew Garfield's movie, what I liked about that... Now, there again, it was an origin story again. So it was basically the Spider-Man 1 Tobey Maguire film and Andrew Garfield's film. They're the same film.
Different villains.
Just different villains, and they're told kind of the same way.
Right.
It was the origin story. Andrew Garfield's more closely represents the comic book, because Peter Parker was extremely smart, and those web spinners was not a biological adaptation that he got. He designed and built those
himself.
For himself.
Yeah, and that's what I like.
And they showed that in the Garfield film, and I liked that better because they showed more of his intellect and his ingenuity in what he did to help further these abilities that he got by being bitten by a spider. And I think that was better than the Maguire films. But
I liked that better, too. I remember when the Tobey Maguire versions came out, me and a friend had actually argued about, you know, the web shooter thing. He's like, no, he's always had them biologically. He's like, dude, I have read the Spider-Man comics. I love Spider-Man. He is my favorite hero. He has not had biological spinners. He made the web shooters himself. He's like, no, he didn't. Dude, I know what I'm talking about. No, I'm right. You're wrong. You know, that's pretty much how the conversation went. I didn't concede victory, but I was just like, you know what? Let's agree to disagree. And at the end of the day, I said to myself, I know I'm right.
Correct. Now, let me ask you this.
Okay.
Do you remember the original Spider-Man movies?
You mean those old, god-awful ones? That came out in like the 80s and 70s?
1977 film.
I remember watching them at one point.
It was a 1977 film. It was a live-action, made-for-television superhero film, the theatrical release abroad. It serves as the pilot to the 1978 television series titled The Amazing Spider-Man, but it was a movie. It was directed by E.W. Schwackhammer.
Schwackhammer?
Schwackhammer.
Schwackhammer. Really?
Fucking weird. Starring Nicholas Hammond, David White, Michael Pataki, and Lisa Ellabacher.
I don't know.
And it had a sequel. Spider-Man Strikes Back, a composite of the two-parter episode Deadly Dust of the Contemporary something. I don't know. But there were two or three films that I had at one point, and I've been looking for them.
They were cheesy as all hell.
Yeah, but you got to go back and watch them. I mean, if you're into Spider-Man, that's something you got to go back and watch, because it did a good job. They went in, and they showed how he got bit. And they showed how he built these web slingers on his own.
Mm-hmm.
He built, and that's pretty good for back then, showing how he built this whatever.
And again, it probably fit with the tone of the comics at the time.
And it did. And it was just totally worth it. And I liked it. Now, cheesy as fuck.
Yes.
They were so cheesy, but they were cool and I liked them. And it's the first time you ever got to see Spider-Man on film as a movie. And yeah, it was kind of done, because if I remember right, the plot was they have these little metal pins that they're giving everybody, and it's basically turning everybody into, like, brainwashed zombies, and Spider-Man's got to go and collect all these pins from him. He's trying to stop this whole ring of thievery and crap. It was cheesy. They even show him in a phone booth at one time, which is pretty funny.
For our younger listeners, a phone booth is a place people would go into to make phone calls, BM, and for Superman, change into his tights.
Exactly.
So, speaking of phone booths, when's the last time you saw a phone booth?
Hawaii.
Oh, yeah, here recently.
There was one in Hawaii. I was
just
shocked.
Just one?
Yeah, just one. Just one.
Well, I guess Superman's got to change somewhere.
I was highly shocked. I'm like, it was pretty funny because we're there. And I'm like, what the hell is this? A phone booth? No way. And some old guy goes, son, that's a phone booth. You know, that's what we used to have before we had these cell phones and crap. I'm like, yeah, I used to work on payphones. I know.
Oh, you're right. You know what? I haven't seen it yet either.
We were just talking
it.
I'm so excited
Spider-Man.
To see Toby
it.
McGuire,
I mean,
it
looks like it's going to kick Andrew Garfield.
Michael Keaton. Michael Keaton is the villain.
Get me back on top. Yeah, so it should be really good.
I bust your butt.
Because, I mean, if you can play a good Batman,
anyhow,
you play
I am actually really
Pretty
excited
much.
For,
and
or, you know, Tom Holland.
For a while there, I could
Tom
be wrong
Holland.
About this, but I kind of
the
felt
new
like
kid that's
going to
be
the playing
90s that plays
oh,
Spider-Man in Homecoming.
I
think
he was
too.
Another
best Batman remake.
Another remake, which I...
That's a good leadway.
Which I
have gotten to. Because Batman is another one, I believe, that can be on both sides.
It can, because
of that line. They have good ones and bad ones, and... I'm sorry. I loved the Michael Keaton Batman movies. As we've all know, because if you've listened to our other episodes, I've argued this point.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Keaton, by far, was the best Batman. I loved him as Batman. Christian Bale? Not so fucking much. That one can go in the bad column. I'm not a big fan of that one. And then Ben Affleck. I was so on the fence with this fucker.
I liked Ben Affleck as Batman.
He
His
was
Bruce
amazing.
Wayne... Eh.
But then again, his Bruce Wayne, he's playing an older Batman and an older Bruce Wayne, and he does such an amazing job on it, and I was so worried about him, and he blew it out of the water. So for me, Ben Affleck and Michael Keaton are pretty much side by side as Batman. They're amazing Batmans. Christian Bale, Val Kilmer, George Clooney, they can all go jump in a lake somewhere because they suck in comparison to these two people.
To be fair, though, to Clooney and Kilmer, the scripts for the movies.
Oh, yeah. I'm not blaming it on them. I'm definitely not blaming it on them. It is the script. I mean, they're awesome actors. I mean, another one, Ocean's 11. That goes in my good column. Ocean's 11. I love that. That was a remake from the original film. Clooney was freaking amazing in that. I love Clooney in a lot of stuff. He's a good actor. He just didn't cut it for me as Batman. He really didn't.
No, he didn't. But, I had it on the tip of my tongue. I liked the Christopher Nolan Batman films with, you know, Christian Bale as Batman. Yes, the voice was god-awful, but overall, I liked the story that the films were telling.
If you want to base it on story and story alone, I can go with you.
But
Christian Bale was horrid. Horrid. I am sorry. He's been in other stuff that I've really liked. There again, not entirely his fault.
No.
He just didn't cut it for me as Batman. He's been in other films that are really, really good. And then he's done an amazing job, and I really liked and enjoyed watching him in. Batman was not one of them.
Gotcha. Can I just say one thing about Ben Affleck? I'm a little terrified he might leave the franchise.
I never thought about that. It is a possibility.
Because I keep reading things that, you know, like he was slated to direct the standalone Batman film for a while, and he backed out of directing, and then there was even a little bit of fear that he would leave the franchise.
Well, I'm hoping he doesn't, because he was amazing at it.
I'm hoping
he was very, very good. And the only way they could make it as good is to make Michael Keaton be Batman. And I don't think because of the...
Actually, hear me out. You know, he might not be necessarily a good fit for the role.
But Sheldon Cooper.
No. How do you think Michael Keaton would do opposite of Batman as, like, say, one of the other villains in his rogue gallery, like Harvey Dent or the Riddler?
He could.
I can see him more as a Harvey Dent two-faced than a Riddler.
Yeah.
Then, or maybe even a doc, you know, like the...
I'm sorry, Jim Carrey was my favorite Riddler.
He was eccentric.
He was over the top. He was fucking batshit crazy.
My dream casting for Riddler, had he been younger, would have been Christopher Lloyd.
Oh, yeah. He would have been good, too.
He would have been awesome, if, you know, had he been younger.
Yeah.
Had he been younger.
He would have been awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So, another one. Superman. Goes in both columns.
It does go in both columns. I want to say, I know you don't like it. I did kind of enjoy Returns, but not for the reasons you think.
Superman Returns?
Yes.
I'm not a big fan of the guy that played Superman in that. I'm just not. It wasn't that great of a movie.
What made the movie for me was Kevin Spacey.
Okay, that was funny.
Kevin Spacey as Lex Luthor.
Yes.
He had that. He had the over the top that Hugh Jack, not Hugh Jackman, but what was his name that played him in the Christopher Reeves film? But you know who I'm talking about. The older dude.
Gene Hackman. Gene Hackman. There
yes.
you go.
Yes. He had that over the top that Gene Hackman had. He had that little bit of flamboyancy to him, the eccentricities.
Okay.
And the favorite part of the film for me, he shanked Superman with a piece of kryptonite. I think I've talked about this before.
You have talked about this before.
I love it.
I mean, I'm with you a little bit, but I didn't like it. I didn't like it. That was in my bad column. Christopher Reeves, iconic, original Superman.
He was iconic.
However, I mean, some might say this about the original Star Trek films, too, but I think that one drug on a little long. I don't think we needed 12 fucking Superman movies. And I know that's incorrect, so don't correct me. I'm exaggerating. Shut your mouth.
When you say the original Star Trek films, are you talking about the ones with the original cast or just
the
all
ones
of
with the original cast?
There were only six of them.
There were six of them. Well, there were six original Superman movies too, right? Or six or seven?
I have no idea. Cause
okay.
Superman, remember,
there's a lot of them.
Remember, Superman wasn't my comic book hero.
Yeah, there were like six or seven of them, something like that. And I think they drug it out a little bit. It was like the same shit over and over again. But someone could say the same thing about the original Star Trek films. It was kind of the same thing over and over, and they drug it out. But it's fine, to each his own. It just,
you know, if they
I like the original Superman films. Superman Returns was not for me. However, the guy that's playing Superman now,
Henry Cavill,
is fucking amazing.
You know what? I didn't think Man of Steel was great, but I enjoyed it.
I really liked Man of Steel. And then when you talk about Batman versus Superman, it was freaking awesome.
Batman versus Superman is an enjoyable film for me. It's an overlong. I like the extended edition that came out on Blu-ray and DVD.
I really love the extended edition. It adds so much more information.
It's so much more context.
Yeah, you get a more complete view of the picture than you did in the theatrical version.
Yeah, but I don't think that necessarily merited an R rating.
No.
I don't think the film overall would have necessitated an R rating. Because, let's face it, we've both seen films that earn that R rating.
Correct. So, I'd like to jump off this topic for a second and jump over to Disney remakes or Disney-style remakes. So, the newest one, Beauty and the Beast. Okay.
I gotta say, I liked the new one. There are certain things that both the animated and the live action do that the other doesn't.
That is true. And I liked them both. I mean, I like the original Beauty and the Beast movie. Who doesn't? If you think that's gay, shut your mouth.
Well, it's like one of the plot holes that was addressed in the live action film was, okay, there's this big fucking castle in the woods. How come nobody knows about it?
Oh, exactly. How do you not know there's a big castle in the woods?
I know. How do you miss that?
One of the things is, I mean, I was talking to people at work, and they're like, you went and seen the Beauty and the Beast movie? Would your wife drag you to that? Well, yeah, but I wanted to go. Why would you want to go? Because I like the animated movie, and this one should be good, and it was great. And I really liked, oh, that's gay, you're dumb. Shut up.
I wanna
it
say,
was a good movie.
It was, and I want to say this, and I may have said it before, I don't remember. You know, Emma Watson, she's not a singer. I didn't go into the movie wanting a singer's voice out of her. I went to her expecting an actress.
Yes, but she was good.
She did okay.
She did very good. I think that was a good movie. That was two really good movies. The animated series or the animated version and this one.
I felt like the animated version had better the characters were more defined.
Okay, but it was animated. They can do that more in an animated film. And plus, you're basing everything you know of the movie off the animated movie because we've seen it so many times.
It's going to get those comparisons.
It's always going to get those.
If you're not a virgin to the Beauty and the Beast film, then you're going to get those comparisons.
Yeah, and if you've never seen either and you watch both of them, you may like one more than the other.
Yes, but each one does things
differently.
And
some, one does one better than the other and vice versa.
Yeah, exactly.
But it was good.
One that I saw that I actually thought was okay, was actually pretty good, was Jungle Book.
See, I haven't seen the live-action version. I've seen the previews, and I've seen a different couple of trailers, and it looked like it could have been really good, but I never actually seen it.
It's on Netflix. You should give it a watch.
I will do that.
Idris Elba as Shere Khan was great.
Okay.
Let's face it, he's a good actor. He really does play a good villain in this one.
Shere Khan was a snake.
Shere Khan was a tiger. Ka was the snake.
Was
voiced by Scarlett Johansson, and she's in the film for a grand total of like 5 minutes.
Really?
Really.
Interesting.
And you know the song that he sings in the animated version, Trust in Me?
Yes!
She does her own version of that, but it's played in the credits, I think.
Aww.
And you know what?
They didn't do it in the movie?
Like, briefly, if they did. I don't remember. But I actually kind of liked her version of it. It was kind of airy and kind of creepy. What you would expect from a snake.
Yeah, and she is kind of creepy.
Yeah, she's pretty.
Creepy pretty.
Creepy pretty. But
that's what makes it fun.
But I actually really enjoyed The Jungle Book as a whole. And you know who else was well cast in that film? Fucking Christopher Walken as King Louie.
Of course he plays a big fucking ape?
Orangutan.
Orangutan.
Yeah. he was great. Oh, it was just like, I even really enjoy his rendition of I Want to Be Like You.
Nice.
He's got that, you know, just the way he voices
it. I will
it.
Have to check that out.
Yes.
Ooh,
Hoobie-Doo, I want to be like you. It's just funny, just visualizing him in my mind. Speaking of apes, you know what I picked up here recently and was pleasantly surprised that they were actually really fucking good? I don't know if they're remakes or reboots, but the Dawn and Rise of Planet of the Apes.
I think those are remakes.
If they're remakes, they were...
Are they new?
Are they
the new ones?
Yeah, the new ones with Andy Serkis and the first one had...
I think those are remakes. They're not reboots because they weren't trying to reboot it. They were just...
Remaking.
They were sticking to like the original story as closely as possible, and they're just updating it basically. And they were good.
It was really good. I really enjoyed them.
Although I'm still kind of impartial to the originals.
Of course, the originals in their own way, they're classic too. Like, who can forget the scene, "You maniacs?
Yeah,
you blew it up," which is referenced God knows how many times in pop culture. Family Guy, Archer's done it. Several other shows have done it.
Yeah, but look at the other one. What the hell is that? Spaceballs? There goes the planet.
Great movie, by the way. Great
movie. That was awesome. And they crash landed on Planet of the Apes. It's freaking hilarious. I love that movie.
It is a great movie. But what's again? Another one that I saw here recently, which was, you know, another animated to live action adaptation, which was kind of weird, was Pete's Dragon. Because Pete's Dragon, what I remember of it, I watched it when I was very little, was it was live action and animated. You know, with the dragon
being... Yeah, the dragon was animated.
Yeah. And
that
then,
was a good movie. I like that.
I enjoyed it.
For
you know.
Classic Disney... I think it was Disney, wasn't it?
Yeah, Pete's Dragon was Disney because they recently did a complete live action version, which Carl Urban was in. Which we've spoken about him twice already, once in Dread and once in Star Trek.
Well, you can see how much we love this guy.
He's a great actor.
He's a great McCoy.
Yes.
And he's a great actor, but I'm sorry, once I've seen him, he's McCoy. He's McCoy. That's all. I mean, he is an amazing McCoy.
He is
the reincarnation of DeForest Kelly. End of story.
Which, you know, he was young. I was young when he passed away, and I'm kind of sad I never got to meet him.
Yeah. That would have been cool.
Him, Jimmy Doohan, and Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah, that would have been so much fun.
It would have been.
You were saying?
But anyhow, Pete's Dragon was actually really enjoyable. I think I enjoyed it better than the animated, or, you know, live-action animated version, because I don't really remember the animated version.
I haven't seen that in a very long time, dude.
I can count on one finger how many times I've seen it, and I think it's just the one time.
Yeah, I haven't seen that in a long time. One of the Disney things that I wanted to speak about is Cinderella. Cinderella's been done
God knows
countless
how many times.
In countless different types of versions. I mean, you've got the one that Lindsay Lohan was in that was a Cinderella story, which wasn't really, but it was kind of, you know, and then you've got the original 1950 Cinderella that Disney came out with, which is classic. Classic Cinderella.
I want to go out on a bit of a tangent here. The sequels it got were unnecessary.
It got sequels?
It got two direct-to-video sequels, and they were unnecessary.
Well, that tells you how much I know. I know the 1950 original animated Cinderella.
And it was unnecessary.
And then
I actually refused to watch them.
The next one that I feel is worthy of being noted is Ever After. Now, wasn't done by Disney. I don't think. I could be wrong. But Ever After. That was the story of Cinderella, basically. That's exactly what it was. That was the story of Cinderella, played by Drew Barrymore.
Okay.
What's-her-face was in it. The one that played Morticia Adams and Adam's Family.
Oh, Angelica Houston.
Angelica Houston played the mom.
You know what? She looks the part.
The evil stepmother or whatever.
Lady Tremaine,
It was good. It was not over the top. It was more, you know, real life setting type of thing. There wasn't all this glamorous, crazy crap in it like you get from the animated series, the magic and stuff. And it was really, really good.
Okay.
That was a good movie. Now the newest one, the 2015 Cinderella, that was good. Now that's basically just the animated version being brought into live action by Disney.
You know what? I thought it was okay. Yes, they did a good job, but I just thought it was okay. I loved, who's the woman that they got to play Lady Tremaine? She played,
in
Lord
of
the Rings.
Yeah.
Is it Kate Winslet? No, not Kate Winslet.
No, I don't think so.
I for the life of me,
can't think of her name.
Yeah,
Google it.
You Google it.
Okay, we're Googling. Do, 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 do. This doo-doo music is copyrighted.
Kate Blanchett.
There you go.
Kate Blanchett. She was great as Lady Tremaine, or the stepmother, if you prefer. And
yeah, they did a good job with it. I liked that one. I would totally watch that again. Same way with the Beauty and the Beast movie. I would watch it again. It was good.
And you see the nice thing about the live action version? You got more context than you did in the animated film.
Yes.
Like, Cinderella and her mother actually had a little bit of a relationship before she died.
They did.
And you see where the stepmother's anger towards her comes from.
Yes.
Which I felt was a nice touch.
Yeah, I do like it.
The one part of the film that I thought was a bit over the top, this is nothing against her, was the whole fairy godmother scene. I like Helena Bonham Carter as an actor. I really do. But I just thought the scene overall was a tad over the top in its execution, I should
say. But that's not necessarily her fault.
No, it's not, and it's not her fault.
So, I'm going to throw a curveball at you, because
in
our pre-production meeting, we didn't go over this because it just popped into my head right now.
Okay.
And I don't know if you've seen it. I don't know if you've seen the original or the remake or whatever. But I have to talk about it because I seen it. And I'm not a huge fan of the normal movie. But this one was cool. Pride and Prejudice.
Okay.
The original movie.
Pride and Prejudice. I haven't read the book. I haven't seen the movies.
Okay. Pride and Prejudice. It's classic. That's all I can really say about it. It's classic, and I don't dislike the movie. It is a good story, and I think the movie was done well. But the remake adaptation, Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies, was fucking awesome.
Oh, God.
That was so freaking cool. So, that is a movie. If you have not seen the original Pride and Prejudice, I'm sorry to say it, but you need to go watch the Pride and Prejudice movie, and then you need to go watch Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies. It is so freaking cool, because literally, the movie follows each other almost identically. There's a few little minor details.
Like zombies.
But it shows it follows each other very well, but then they add all these zombies in there, and it's freaking cool. That was a good movie. I don't care what anyone says. I don't think it got very good reviews, but it was funny. Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies. That's something you gotta see, dude. And I'm sorry, it's gotta be a remake. It's gotta be considered a remake or a reboot or some whatever the hell you want to call it.
Or a retelling of some kind. Anyhow,
yeah.
You know what?
It was good.
You know what? I don't like the Turnabout is Fair Play, but I'm gonna do it. Turnabout is Fair Play. We didn't discuss this one. You know what adaptations I felt were kind of unnecessary for remakes, but this might be nostalgia goggles on?
Okay.
The Ninja Turtles movies.
I agree. The original three Ninja Turtle movies were amazing.
I loved the first two. The third one was kind of eh.
But I liked it. I liked it because some of the one-liners in there were amazing. After April grabs that stupid thing and she flops places with that Chinese guy or that
Japanese
guy,
dude.
He looks at, how did you fit in April's pants? How'd you get in there? The one-liners were awesome. I liked that movie. Those were amazing. And then they remade it with that, what were they, all CGI.
Yes.
And then they switched and they redid it again with partial half CGI, half light, something.
I want to say that, you know, the two that came out in the last couple of years with Michael Bay as the producer or whatever.
Okay.
I liked the second one better than the first one.
Well, let me put it to you this way. Because I didn't like the physical look of the turtles.
Okay.
On the covers or in the trailers.
Okay.
I didn't watch any of the new ones.
You know what? I saw them essentially just to see them because I was curious.
I should probably see them because I do love the Ninja Turtles. I mean, I grew up on the original animated series of the Ninja Turtles.
Hand to God.
And it was awesome. And you get, you know, the turtle van and the Technodrome and Krang and Shredder.
Which they did bring in the Technodrome and Krang.
Did they?
Into the second one. And Bebop.
Really?
And Bebop and Rocksteady.
Okay, but the original movie brought in Bebop and Rocksteady.
No, they didn't. They brought in Toka and Razar. That's their two different characters.
Oh, that's true. You're right. You're right. My bad.
When I'm right, I'm right.
And you? You're not that right.
But they did bring in Bebop and Rocksteady, you know, the characters in themselves were already a little juvenile, you know, in the cartoon, but they went a little bit over the top with them. But you know what? I thought the film was enjoyable. It was better than the first, in my opinion. And it had Stephen Amell in it. I like him as an actor because he plays, you know, Oliver Queen on the CW series Arrow. And I loved the first two seasons of Arrow.
I think he did a good job as Arrow.
He did.
I think he's still doing a good job as Arrow. It's just I haven't really watched that series so much lately. I think we watched like season 3 or 4, maybe 5, and then kind of went and fizzled out.
I've been too busy to watch it lately. I can't even.
So have we. Dude, I'll be honest. We haven't watched our DVR stuff in probably a month. We've been watching Netflix, binging shit on Netflix. Oh, side note. The new episodes of The Ranch are out. Check that out. That's awesome. I'm sorry. If you don't like it, it's fine. But if you're looking for a cool thing that brings back some of the that 70s show actors together, it's pretty badass.
All right.
So I think the last thing of the night we have to talk about is the main movie so far of the summer.
You're talking the biggest film that has come out this year?
The biggest film that has come out this year that has got critics raving and has everyone raving. I have, to be honest, I have not heard one negative thing about this movie yet.
Yet.
What is it?
Wonder Woman.
And that is one woman you'll never wonder whether she's a woman or not.
Me and my fiance, we went to go see it. It was so enjoyable.
That movie was so badass that
was they
we almost went and watched it a second time in the same day.
Oh, wow. You know that Jenna, isn't it? Robin Wright, the gal
really?
Who plays... Yeah, she, the gal who plays...
Forrest Gump's Jenny.
Yeah, is in it. Isn't She's it? The woman that plays Antiope, or whatever her name is. The
one... Oh, nice!
Yeah, that's her. And I almost stood up in the theater and yelled, Jenny! But I didn't.
You would, too.
I would, but I didn't.
So if you're ever at a Wonder Woman screening, and you hear some jackass screaming, Jenny, this guy will be right there. Turn around, and you will see Caster in the audience, standing up, screaming, Jenny!
If you know me.
And then you could go up, you can get his autograph, you can give him a hug, he'll take pictures with you, all kinds of crap. Just remember...
I'll even flip off the camera for you.
There you go. We would charge money for that, but no one wants to see us in public.
Anyhow, it was a really well-done film. What I liked is it wasn't so serious all the fucking time, like Man of Steel was so serious. Batman v Superman, we both know, is just serious all the way through.
Yeah, this one wasn't... It didn't hold the seriousness the whole way through, but, I mean, there were some comedic moments, there were some really touching moments, there were emotional moments, there was...
And then Gal Gadot.
She did an amazing rendition as Wonder Woman. She
you know,
played
in some
it
of those,
very, very well.
I think when they had to go back and do reshoots, she was pregnant.
Was she?
I think so. She was pregnant. You couldn't tell. You know, she must...
No.
But she did an amazing job as Princess Diana at Themyscira.
Well, I think this movie is going to be a very, like, cornerstone for,
for
female superheroes, inspiring young girls, whatever,
you know,
from now on, because Wonder Woman was that back in the day, and finally they have
With Linda Carter.
Since Linda Carter.
But I want to say that the animated versions of Wonder Woman have done very well also. But this is the first time since Linda Carter that we've seen a live-action adaptation of Wonder Woman.
Correct.
And on another note, I think that even if the rest of the... live-action comic series for DC fizzles out, I think Wonder Woman will keep going.
I think this one will keep going because I think it's got a huge fan base behind it. I think it's got tons of young girls and women behind it who remember some of this or showed their daughters and stuff this from what they seen when growing up, and now they finally see it on the big screen and they're just over the top.
Not to mention.
All right. They did an amazing job at it. They didn't fuck up one portion of the movie.
Really.
I enjoyed every bit of the movie all the way through. There wasn't anything that's just kind of like, we could do without that. There wasn't one of those moments in there for me. The whole movie kept my attention the whole time. And at the end, I was like, fuck, I want to see that again. It was good.
There were two points in that film that were personal favorites of mine. One was, you know, when they're on the boat going back to, you know, to London. And, you know, they're talking about, you know, sex and reproduction and whatnot. And she's like, she's read all 12 volumes of whatever, and he asks her, well, what does it say? It says, while men are necessary for reproduction, for pleasure, just kind of like, eh. And then the other one was the bar scene. And, you know, she throws that dude across the room, and then that one guy who thinks he's hot shit is like, I'm both terrified and aroused. And that was great. You know, that those were great moments of lightheartedness in... what might otherwise be considered a very serious film.
Yeah.
You know, totally serious. And, I had another thought, and I lost it.
I'm not surprised.
No, you shouldn't be.
I'm not. The audience shouldn't be either. If you've been listening to us for 2 seasons and this many episodes in, you know we lose thoughts all the time. I'll be like, hey, do you remember? Oh, fuck, never mind.
Yeah. And it's exactly like that. Okay, I remember now. There are so many places to take Wonder Woman. Like, if they want to go ahead and say, you know, she didn't do anything during all that time from the first film up to Batman v Superman, fine. But she could still be having adventures in that time. What has she been doing?
Other than reading 12 volumes?
Other than curating that museum or whatever, there's just so many stories that they can tell. You know
what? You want to see her sitting in her apartment watching TV going, damn, I'm glad I don't have to help it do this shit no more.
Well, remember, after World War I, for several years, they didn't have TV. They only had radio.
Oh, maybe she's sitting there staring at a picture of Steve going, Steve!
Maybe a little bit, but I don't know. But you know what I mean? There are stories in there that they could possibly tell if they really wanted to.
Maybe she's Maybe she went back to the island and...
She's not... She's essentially exiled, remember?
Maybe she went back to the island and she...
Spoilers, by the way.
Argued with her mother. She could have went back to the island and argued with her mother, saying, why didn't you tell me I was going to meet Steve?
But you get what I'm saying, right? You get what I'm saying.
Who are you talking to? Steve from State Farm. What are you wearing, Steve from State Farm?
Khakis.
Yeah, she sounds hideous.
Well, she is a guy, so.
She's a guy, so. Maybe she was mad. She went back to talk to her mom about Steve from State Farm.
I don't think so.
These are the jokes. You can laugh or you can sit there. Doesn't matter.
Was it again? I don't know if it's still in theaters or not. If it is and you haven't seen it, we highly recommend it. If it's not in theaters, you're just going to have to wait till it comes out on video, folks.
Which shouldn't be that long, because they tend to rush these movies that are huge blockbusters like that
in
out
like
to
3 months
pretty fast now, because they want to keep the hype going. And I think on that note, there's no better way to end. So
end on a high note. I'm Caster.
And I'm Pollux.
Thank you for listening today, and have a good one. My rims never spin. To the contrary, you'll find that they're quite stationary. All of my action figures are cherry. Stephen Hawking's in my library. My MySpace page is all totally pimped out. Got people begging for my top 8 spaces. Yo, I know pie to 1,000 places. Ain't got no grills, but I still wear braces. I order all of my sandwiches with mayonnaise. I'm a whiz, a minesweeper, I can play for days. Once you see my sweet moves, you're gonna stay amazed. My fingers moving so fast, I'll set the place ablaze. There's no killer app I haven't run. At Pascal, well, I'm number one. Do vector calculus just for fun. I ain't got a gap, but I got a soldering gun. Happy days is my favorite theme song. I can sure kick your butt in a game of ping pong. I'll ace any trivia quiz you bring on. I'm fluent in JavaScript as well as Klingon. Here's the part I sing. They see me roll on my Segway. I know in my heart they think I'm white and nerdy. Think I'm just too white and nerdy. Think I'm just too white and nerdy. Can't you see I'm white and nerdy? Look at me, I'm white and nerdy. I like to roll with the gangsters. Although it's apparent I'm too white and nerdy. Think I'm just too white and nerdy. Think I'm just too white and nerdy. I'm just too white and nerdy. How'd I get so white and nerdy? I've been browsing, inspecting X-Men comics, you know I collect them. The pens in my pocket, I must protect them. My ergonomic keyboard never leaves me bored. Shopping online for deals on some writable media. I edit Wikipedia. I memorize Holy Grail really well. I can recite it right now and have you ROTFLOL. I got a business doing websites. While my friends need some code, who do they call? I do HTML for them all. Even made a homepage for my doll. Yo, I got myself a fanny pack. They were having a sale down at the Gap. Spend my nights with a roll of bubble wrap. Pop, pop, hope no one sees me getting freaky. I'm nerdy, indie, extreme, and whiter than sour cream. I was in AV club and glee club and even the chess team. Only question I ever thought was hard was, do I like Kirk or do I like Picard? Spend every weekend at the Renaissance Fair. Got my name on my underwear. They see me strolling, they laughing and rolling their eyes, cause I'm so white and nerdy. Just because I'm white and nerdy. Just because I'm white and nerdy. All because I'm white and nerdy. Holy cow, I'm white and nerdy. I wanna bowl with the gangsters. Well, it's obvious I'm white and nerdy. Think I'm just too white and nerdy. Think I'm just too white and nerdy. I'm just too white and nerdy. Look at me, I'm white and nerdy.